Thank you very much. So I want to, first of all, I want to thank for meeting me here, and especially PI Dr. Wayne Sovans. This project is part of the big FIRSA project, which is funded by Department of Energy, and I think more than four or five universities are involved. And Dr. Wayne Sovans is the PI. So from this project, we are doing environmental impacts, like how the switchgrass, the grown on margin lands of South Dakota, what's the environmental impacts, biomass production. We are also doing greenhouse gas emissions, soil carbon sequestration. But here I'm presenting only the root component. So I divided my talk in what's the different rationale behind growing the switchgrass in marginal lands, a few objectives, methods used, results, and summarizing my results. Okay, switchgrass is a perennial warm season grass. It's native to the North America, an excellent crop for the cellulose ethanol production. And so there are like so many studies has been conducted to figure out the optimum level of fertilization needs that are identified for improving the switchgrass root biomass or biomass yield. So why we are growing switchgrass? So many studies has been conducted all over the, especially in the America here, because this crop withstands a harsh climate and can grow on marginal lands. It's alternative bioenergy source, and this crop is resistant to moisture and nutrient stress. And it improves the soil carbon sequestration. This crop reduces the greenhouse gas emissions compared to the corn. So that was the one reason giving more emphasis of this crop as compared to corn, because that's a challenge with the food security with the corn. So there are like more emphasis on the how to improve the root biomass of the switchgrass, because it's much related with the biomass yield of switchgrass. And in the morning session, we have seen few talks about the new crops, which is like Carinata, Camelina. We also have those crops in South Dakota, but so far we haven't seen any positive impact on the biomass or ethanol. So switchgrass is really working pretty good in our condition there. So the objective or the rationale behind this talk is how we can improve the roots, or how those roots are related with different soil properties. And nitrogen fertilization, that's the one way to increase the root growth and the biomass production and feedstock quality. So the objectives of the talk was to assess the impacts of nitrogen fertilization rate applied to the switchgrass, and that switchgrass managed under three different landscape positions, is shoulder, backslope, and foot slope. And the second objective was to evaluate the impacts of how those different soil properties are related to the root growth parameters. So this is an experimental site. This site is located in South Dakota, near Bristol. And this site was started the switchgrass was planted back in 2008. And treatments included three landscape positions. The switchgrass was grown on shoulder, backslope, and foot slope. And we applied three nitrogen rates, 0, 56, 112 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. And we have a four replicates, so total plots were about 12. So for this talk, we did not use 56 kilogram nitrogen. We just used only two nitrogen rates. We took samples only. Why? Because of the results which we have received from the biomass yield. So we just thought maybe to select only two nitrogen rates. How did we collect the root samples? We used a push probe truck. We collected sample deep to 1 meter depth, and after extracting the core, we divided or we separated into different depths, like 0, 15, 30. And after that, we washed those roots, and after washing, we used a wind riser scanner, and we scanned these roots. It was pretty heavy work, but and we started analyzing for root length, and I think we have about like 1,000 samples. Later on, when I started working, I thought maybe it wasn't as much exciting idea. But after washing this, because switchgrass roots were very thick, so it took us like at least couple of months to figure out which grinder we should use so we can grind these roots. I think we tried even all the coffee makers, what the Walmart was making, and finally we got this. I don't even know what the name of this grinder, but finally we got success. And this is how we are grinding these roots. So using this WinRiso software, which is pretty neat software, we can use this for scanning the roots. And this scanner will give you different diameter classes of roots, and then it will give you the root length, surface area. So it's really nice, but it's labor intensive. So these are the few initial soil properties before we apply the nitrogen. So initial soil data, this table which I'm showing here, the organic carbon was significantly higher at the first foot slope compared to shoulder and back slope. And this is publication by our postdoc, Eric. So we did not find any significant impact because of the nitrogen rate. Why? Because the nitrogen treatment was not even started at that time. And the bulk density was lower at the foot slope compared to the other landscape position. This is just initial data. We found some interesting results. So root length was higher at the foot slope that was maybe expected. But the data with high nitrogen and low nitrogen was, I was expecting high nitrogen, but the root length with the no nitrogen was higher, and we are expecting that it's because maybe the nitrogen was limiting there and the switchgrass root length was higher here, and it was pretty consistent, and same with the root surface area. The foot slope switchgrass root surface area was higher as compared to, if you look at the low nitrogen that has a higher root surface area compared to the high nitrogen. This comes to root carbon and nitrogen. Except this first graph, all other results were pretty obvious, like we observed that was expected, like foot slope, higher organic carbon, we have a better root growth, so root carbon was higher. But for the first, we found a little bit, we did not find so many significant differences on the root carbon and nitrogen. And the reason, I don't know much reason at this point yet, but there were like so much, because we were doing it the first time, and we are repeating it now again to make sure the results are pretty consistent because of this grinding and handlings. I'm expecting maybe some of those manual error might be, but the trend is pretty consistent with the at the foot slope, better root growth and the root carbon and nitrogen. So to just conclude, so these were the preliminary findings. We have collected samples. Sorry, I forgot to mention it. Last year, it was after like 5th year of the established of the switchgrass. So root growth parameters were not always impacted by nitrogen rate and landscape positions. And it's one reason that switchgrass takes longer to establish. So maybe in further few years, we might see more significant differences because of the nitrogen and the landscape positions. And the soil organic carbon at the foot slope was higher. Another reason why, because of the erosion at the top slope, might carry those eroded carbon and deposited at the foot slope, and that has increased the root growth. So this year we again collected the same number of samples. We are the mistakes which we have done, or especially those grinding everything, we are trying to improve those this year. And again, to see that how these root parameters and soil properties are related. So we have collected samples from three different locations, Virginia, Oklahoma, from those root samples, we also collected a soil sample. So our idea is to analyze the different fractions of carbon, especially those levels, which is like more influenced with the change, with the management change. And we want to relate that data with the root growth to make a good conclusion. So these are just preliminary findings. So I want to, these are my team. I want to thank my lab team, and plus the funding support was provided by North Central Region Sun Grants Center at SDSU, and a grant provided by Department of Energy.
Okay. Well, any questions? One quick question. You talked about root growth response to nitrogen, but how about root to shoot ratio? Was the plants partitioning different?
We haven't looked at here, but that's also the part of Dr. Owens is working on the part of his another we published that paper in separately. But this study was only looking at the roots. So we have also a lot of data I didn't show here, like how those roots, the different diameter classes, like how those roots are separate and their surface area using this Winterizer software. And then we have a root biomass, root length for each, and then we want to relate that with the carbon, different carbon fractions. So.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.